Trinadapi suni chena tarari vasahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. It is the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to always keep oneself meek and humble, and being more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to give all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. And why? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel, confusion, hypocrisy, known as the age of Kali, there is only one way for salvation. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. Let's do that. Everyone raise your hand, please. Let's do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So it's always, always good to be here in ISKCON San Diego. And today, of course, 9/11. But if you ask a staunch follower of Bhagavad Gita, what do you think of 9/11? Immediately he'll say, oh, avajananti mang mudha, manushing tanamasrita. Yes, 9/11 means a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Yes, because one of the effects of practicing Krishna consciousness, the cumulative effect, is that no matter what you see or hear or read, immediately there's some context with Krishna. And when you see that happening, yes, you realize it's working. The process is happening. Actually, what I have learned from Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness means anything you experience in life, you should be able to see it in terms of Krishna's philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, in 1986, after 13 years of living in a temple, I was a brahmachari, and then in 1980, I got married, and in 1986, my wife and I decided that we would move out of the temple, get jobs, support ourselves, take care of our daughter, and practice Krishna consciousness outside. It was a challenge, but it was good in this sense that I got to see how this philosophy is practical in any situation. It's just a matter of having the vision and knowing how and when to apply it. And one thing I realized was that day by day I was seeing, and it was like a reconfirmation, that everything I had been studying from Prabhupada in his books was now coming to life to a theater near you. I was getting a first-hand experience of all these things that I have read in the Bhagavatam and the Bhaktivedanta purports. And I just applied. My wife, too. My wife, in her case, she joined the temple when she was on the verge of her 17th birthday in Canada. She went to her guidance counselor one day in the school and said, I want to join the Hare Krishna temple. And the guidance counselor said, I think that's a good idea. Can you believe it? So my wife, at the age of 16, almost 17, ran away from home, got on the bus, because it was authorized by the guidance counselor, got on the bus 400 miles, and at 9 o'clock at night, she was knocking on the door of the Toronto Temple. It was a different time back then, and the temple took her in. And so she just became a devotee. And then by 1986, she never went back to school. She never finished high school. But she got a job. And by applying everything she had learned in ISKCON from Prabhupada's books and living in the temple, she got a better job, more pay, and she just kept progressing and progressing and progressing. Just applying what she has learned in this movement. Because people may not realize, but when you read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you're not just reading religious. There's so much practical knowledge, especially if you read Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is there. Sex. You want to know about sex? It's in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. You want to know about economics? It's there. Sociology, psychology, everything is there in Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports. All you have to do is become a miner. Excavate the jewels of knowledge that are there. That's why me, every day, I spend a good 2-3 hours because I'm a miner. Miner meaning I want to get out the jewels of knowledge that are there. Prabhupada has given us so much information, practical and realized knowledge. It's all there. And if you begin to apply it over time, any situation, you will be able to see it in terms of this philosophy. So, I know, on the radio, on the TV, everybody for the last couple of days, where were you when it happened? I remember where I was. I was sleeping. And I got a phone call from my daughter. She said, wake up, Pitta, wake up. We're being attacked. I said, what? She said, go to the television. So I turned on the television, and I saw there was smoke coming out of the tower. And just as I was, you know, watching for a few seconds, the second plane came and hit the second tower. And immediately I remembered a verse from a song, my favorite bhajan, that Prabhupada has sung and recorded so many times. And then sure enough, then I saw like a house of cards. It collapsed. And this was the verse that I immediately was thinking of. He dana yobana putra parijana iti ki ache para chichire. He dana yobana putra parijana iti ki ache para chichire. Kamala jala jala jivana chala mala. Kamala jala jala jivana chala mala. Komala jala jala jivana chala mala. Bhajahu haripada nitire. Bhajahu haripada nitire. So this line, Kamala jala jala jivana chala mala. That our life is so fragile. And this example in this song, like a drop of water on a lotus petal. In 1988, I went to Vrindavan after 2 years working in the material world, I was fried. I was so miserable. And my wife said, okay, you can take a break. Go to India. Thank you, Jesus. So many times I had heard this song. So many times I sung this song. So I was on a stroll on Bhaktivedanta Marg, the best. Talk about Fifth Avenue. Nah, Bhaktivedanta Marg. So I saw this lily leaf. So I said, let me see if what Prabhupada says is actually true. So I saw this lily leaf, and I dunked it into the water. It came out. And then there were a few drops of water. So I took a picture. And sure enough, within a few seconds, it fell off. I said, confirmed. Prabhupada doesn't lie. Prabhupada does not cheat. Here is actual, I saw it. I saw how it is. So when I saw the buildings coming down, that was like a, what we call, wake-up call. It made me so convinced, all right, America is not infallible. America may be this, that, and the other thing, but now Krishna is waking everybody up. And it was interesting. I don't know if you remember, but I remember. Right after 9/11, all the churches were full. All of a sudden, everybody became very religious. Yes. And then as the weeks went by, everybody again went back to their old silly, stupid ways. But right after it, they said it, he was saying it, the churches were packed. Everybody became goody-goody all of a sudden. The fear of God. And the conditioned soul is so foolish. So what does Krishna say? Oh, I got to wake you up again? All right. How about this one? Katrina. And then after some time, we again become lulled. All right. Let's send this disaster. Right? A person who has been trained through these shastras sees every opportunity as something, every situation. Let this be an impetus for me to become more serious, more sincere. When I was seeing the buildings collapse, I was thinking, all right, it's time to get serious, folks. It's time to really get serious about this Krishna consciousness. Because whether it's 9/11 or this or that, every one of us, that day is coming, the final examination of life, the time of death. And this concept of death is fully discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, fully discussed. And it's discussed in such a way that you know exactly what you're supposed to do. That the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, whatever our mind is fixated on at the time of death, that is going to determine the next chapter. Because death is only a dream. It's just a passing phase. The soul is eternal. The very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, you're not the body. You're not the mind. You are eternal spirit soul. You always existed. You exist now, and you will continue to exist eternally as an individual. So you better get used to yourself. Because you ain't going nowhere. And Krishna consciousness teaches us how to really understand our true eternal identity. These books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They are guiding us how to become the best possible you can be. This is the best self-help book. Best. And Krishna, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it so easy to understand. You got a door here. You got a door here. Door over there. Whichever door you open, there's a certain result. The door of goodness. Krishna outlines the door of goodness. What happens? Then there's the door of passion. But that's a different path. And then there's the door of ignorance. Very, very dangerous. The door of ignorance. And this age of Kali, the door of ignorance is very popular. In fact, there's a whole city in the mode of ignorance. What's it called? Very good. Are you a frequent flyer? So, we have to be very careful because human life means choices. That's what human life is about. Choices. At every moment, you are being forced to make choices. Depending on those choices, we create our own destiny. Therefore, somebody who is alert or awakened to Krishna consciousness knows, there's no benefit in blaming. This person did this to me. They did that. Doesn't do me any good. A Krishna conscious person accepts responsibility. I'm in this particular situation because I opened that door of ignorance and went down that hallway. Or I went down the door of passion. Or I went down the door of the mode of goodness. And that's why I'm in the particular situation I'm in. And Krishna consciousness teaches you how you can recognize where you're at every single moment of your life. That's why you have to study these books. When Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita that we should surrender to him. He does say that, right? You've all heard that, right? When Krishna says to surrender, it's not that Krishna is some megalomaniac. I want everyone to bow down. Look on the altar. Look who Krishna's with. Krishna is happy. So when Krishna tells us to surrender, it's for our benefit. Parents, how many here are parents? You know this very well. You try to tell your children, don't do this, do this. And the children say, I don't want to. And as a parent, you're thinking, I'm trying to help you. And you're being so stubborn, right? When I preach to children, that's one of the first things I impress upon the children. Please obey your parents. Because they have your best interest at heart. I sometimes do marriage counseling. And I explain to the husband. I say, my dear such and such, you are married to a devoted wife. I only do this with devoted families. So I explain, listen. You are married to this devoted wife. You are her investment. Therefore, whatever she tells you is for your good. Because she doesn't want anything to happen to her investment. Huh? The light goes, oh. So I have a mantra. When I do marriage counseling, I have a mantra, and I make the man say it out loud in front of the wife. Happy wife means happy life. And sometimes, no, no, Prabhu, it's the other way around. They tried to say, no, I said, you didn't listen. You didn't listen. This is only possible in a religious couple. It doesn't apply outside. But if the couple is a religious married couple, then this it's absolute. I'm living proof. Living proof. Time after time, my wife told me, for my own good, Prabhuji. Oh, no, how would you say? Prabhuji. And, of course, being a stubborn man, right, with a false ego as big as the sky. Who does she think she's talking to? I'm Narantara Das. I am world famous. Who does she? And each and every time, I would come back wagging my tail, and I would have to admit, you were right, I was wrong. After 30 years, it dawned on me, you know what? I should just do what she says without question. Because time after time, she even predicted, she told me, so many times, if you don't go to the dentist, one day you're going to give Bhagavad Gita class like this. And sure enough, the day came when all my teeth had to be removed. And that's exactly, I had, for 2 years, I was preaching without any teeth. And she was laughing her head off. I told you so. I told you so. So now, I never question. Because it's based on that principle. So children, we got any children here? Children means you're not married. So, children, please listen to your parents. They are devotee parents. They have your best interest at heart. Same way, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he's saying, don't do this, do this, Krishna is happy and content as he is. All these things we read in Bhagavad Gita is for our benefit. And the more we are obedient to Krishna, the happier we are going to be. Who wants to be happy? Jai, very good. We got a smart crowd today. Yes. So it behooves us to be intelligent and obedient and submissive to Krishna. And we should, now the question that I always ask, how many people are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? I think we need to study every day. How many times do you eat every day? Right? So we can't neglect the soul. The soul needs to be fed. It needs to be fed. So how do you feed the soul? Well, come to the temple. Feed the soul by looking at Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. Feed the soul by hearing and chanting about Krishna. How many people are chanting Japamala every day? Oh, good. Okay, good. Now just add a little Bhagavad Gita every day. Because here's how I explain it. So many of you are chanting. Very good. Now, we read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam because the result of nicely reading is that you become more enthusiastic to chant. And if you're really chanting, you become so thirsty, I want to know more. So therefore you study. So one feeds the other. You chant nicely, and as you're chanting, as Lord Chaitanya says, all varieties of devotional service are awakened. And I always remember, coming up next month, you're having your Govardhan celebration here. Probably it's one of the best in the country, right? After all, it's Radha Giridhari. Yes. So, when Krishna was speaking to his father, Nanda Maharaj, And Krishna was asking Nanda Maharaj, what is this ceremony you're about to do? And Nanda Maharaj was explaining, oh, this is the traditional ceremony. We have to pray to Indra and this and that. And Krishna pointed out to his father that some people are doing things, but they don't have full knowledge. Therefore, they don't get the full result. But somebody who has full knowledge gets the full result. So I take that as, oh, I should know as much as I can about this chanting that I have to do every day. So I should be studying these books so that I know more and more about the science of chanting. And then as I learn and extract, then that gets me, all right, now I really want it. Today, I really want to get absorbed in chanting. And if I really get absorbed in chanting, Hare Krishna, come on, let's do it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more I do that, then I get a taste, I get some realization, and that impels me, I want to learn more about it, more about it. So you should be doing both, hearing, reading, chanting, studying, and then if you really want to get into the next platform, preach. Preach. Tell others about what you have realized. Every one of us has some realization of Krishna consciousness. If you've been coming more than a few times, then you have some realization. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep coming back. But every one of you has some realization. Whatever you have, share it. Share it. No, I shouldn't have used the word preach. I know I was told never to use that word. But share. Share with others. When you have something good, the natural symptom is that you want to give it to others. If you really have something good, naturally, you want to give it to others because it's so great. And Krishna consciousness, yes, it is the greatest thing. When you really understand Krishna consciousness, when you really get it, when you get that taste, when the light comes on and you get, that is so valuable. So valuable. And that's a gift from Krishna. That is not, it's not academic. Yes, I'm telling everybody they should study, yes, but the realization, that's a gift. That comes from Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, he blesses you with understanding, and you go, oh, thank you, Krishna. Now, as you advance, that reciprocation of understanding and realization from Krishna becomes more and more, how shall we say, more recurring. And when you're on a very nice platform, it's constant. The classic example, one time Prabhupada was being interviewed in New York by a newspaper man. And the newspaper man was saying, so how do you know when to open the temple and how do you know to make a decision? And Prabhupada's secretary interrupted and said, oh, he uses his intelligence. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna tells me directly. That's the platform where Krishna is directly telling you. You're having a personal conversation. And you'll get glimpses of that little by little as you seriously practice this Krishna consciousness. And it all stems from this process of hearing and chanting. And I was just reading today, I was giving a class back in Placentia, California this morning, and Prabhupada was mentioning the two things, serious and sincere. That's it. Serious and sincere. Those two qualifications, you will be successful in this Krishna consciousness. And it's all about this process of hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was mentioning how in 1988 I went to Vrindavan. And so when I got there, my good friend Toshan Krishna Das gave me my own room. And so I was doing some soul searching. My mind was disturbed. But in those days I was there, I prayed to Krishna. I said, Krishna, here I am in your dham. I have spent $1,000, $2,000 here. And what I am having here, I want to have always when I'm home. So that was 1988. After 7 years, Krishna blessed me. I got it. What did I ask for? I asked for unlimited facility for hearing and chanting. After 7 years, Krishna blessed me. I can say, I can honestly say, I have unlimited facility for hearing and chanting. That is the greatest benediction I have gotten in my life. That I can spend as much time as I want, every day, any day, hearing and chanting this beautiful Krishna consciousness. The power of prayer I've known all my life. Even before coming to Krishna consciousness, I would pray to Jesus. And many things came about. And the things that didn't come about, once I came to Krishna, then I realized, oh, that's why I didn't get what I wanted back then. All the puzzles, oh, that's why. Because if he had given me Dina or Michelle or Linda, I would have never come to Krishna. So Krishna was kind. Krishna knew, no. If I give you Linda or Michelle or Dina, you will never come to me. So I will take all this away so that you will come to me. Now, back then, I was banging my, why? I was singing the blues all the time. All the time singing the blues. Couldn't understand why can't I find my soulmate? Then when I heard Prabhupada, he made it so nice. Prabhupada said, you have the loving propensity, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is where you're reposing that loving propensity. And Prabhupada so nicely was telling us, repose your loving propensity with Krishna. And once you get that, once it clicks, And then I even asked Prabhupada in 1975. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan in Atlanta, Sunday feast lecture. And I said, this is my chance. I may not get my chance. So Prabhupada, after his lecture, are there any questions? So Nirantara Das Brahmachari, Prabhupada's Vyasasan was in the back of the temple. I was up front by the deities. So I said, this is my chance. It's now. I raised my hand. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Now you got to understand, the temple room was full of brahmacharis. There were only a few guests. And in that time, all you heard in ISKCON, distribute books, distribute books. If you don't distribute books, you're in Maya, Prabhu. Oh, you're a Pujari? You're in Maya. Prabhu, you got to distribute. That's how it was. Was I right? Anybody confirm? Am I telling the truth? Right? You know what it was like. You're a householder. Oh, you're in Maya. ISKCON has grown since then. So I was expecting Prabhupada was going to say, and everybody was, you could just feel it. Everybody was, yeah, he's going to say distribute books. Because it was all Radha Damodar brahmacharis, and they were pumped up. Wow, we're going to conquer the world. So Tamal Krishna Goswami was Prabhupada's secretary. Prabhupada said, huh? So Tamal Krishna repeated the question. And those of you who know Tamal Krishna, that tone of voice, what pleases, I can't imitate it. But those of you who know, there's a certain tone. He asked Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? So Prabhupada closed his eyes and he dipped his head and said, when you love Krishna. Huh? He didn't say book distribution. What is Prabhupada in Maya? And that was like, whoa, Prabhupada said, when you love Krishna. So for me, it was like, all I got to do in this lifetime is love Krishna. Not so easy, because there's something else that gets in the way. Maya. That's the problem. Maya's always getting in the way. Say, why don't you love me? I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll take you here. I'll take you there. So it's a constant struggle. But that's why you have to stay fixed at the lotus feet. In the song that I quoted, the very first, let's look at that very first verse of that song. The song is so nice. I think the first lecture I gave here in San Diego 2 years ago was on this song. Let's do that first verse because it's so nectarine, as Prabhupada would say. Bajahure mana shrinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. Everybody. Bajahure mana shrinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. Dulava manava janama sat sange. Durlava manava janama sat. Durlava manava janama sat sange. Durlava manava janama sat sange. Charaha evava sindhure. Charaha evava sindhure. So the first order of business, Bajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana Abhai. The first order of business. If you want to love Krishna, loving someone means you're always thinking about that person. That shows when you're in love. Because no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing here, there, you're always remembering your beloved. So the song is saying, the author is addressing his mind. According to the Bhagavad Gita, the mind is most formidable, very difficult to control. But the author is saying, my dear mind, please cooperate. Let us be fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. If you do that, will become fearless. So 9/11, all this stuff, we are fearful only because we have not taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So disaster is going to come. Like, what did you have the other day? What happened the other day? Did you get a wake-up call again? What were you doing? What were you thinking? Were you remembering Krishna or were you going, Arr-ish. You had a wake-up call. You had your own wake-up call. That's like, here's another test. You're driving in your car. Somebody cuts you off. Hey, yo! Or do you do this? Hare Krishna. Only you can answer that question. Only you can answer that question. If you are Krishna conscious, when any situation comes, immediately Abhaya Charanavinda, you take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Immediately, if there's some kind of danger, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because this human life, so very rare, and we only get 100 years, that's all. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, I'm now 61. I look pretty good for 61, huh? That's what my doctor says. When I go to I have to go see him in 2 weeks, my doctor says, damn, you look so good for 61. What's your secret? Ah. I've been seeing this guy now for a couple of years, and every time he says, God, you look so good. I said, well, you know, vegetarian diet, chant a little Hare Krishna. It'll do wonders for you, doc. But I always think, this is reconfirmation from Krishna. Yes. So we have to practice, train ourselves that my first order of business every day be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, because this Krishna consciousness is all about developing love for God. Prabhupada says love of God, that is the only religion. Christianity, Muslim, Islam, this, that. Do you love God? That's what matters. Do you know who is God and do you love him? Doesn't matter what club you belong to. No. Do you know who is God and are you developing love for him? That's what matters. That's the real criteria. And in this Krishna consciousness ISKCON movement, that's what you are taught from day one. Prabhupada said it. How do you please him? When you love Krishna. And loving Krishna is natural. It's the easiest thing to do. Look, is he an old man with a beard? He's so, and the very name, what does Krishna mean? All attractive, not all mean. Not all vindictive. Not all... No, all attractive. And Lord Chaitanya teaches... I love this about Lord Chaitanya. He says, love of Krishna is already there in your heart. It's already there. You don't got to go online to get it. You don't have to get it from China. Thank God. Something is not imported from China. The Hare Krishna mantra was imported by Narada Muni from the spiritual world. Jai. So it's natural to love Krishna. And if you read about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna book, I was reading that Krishna book. Chapter 1, chapter 2, by the time chapter 6, Krishna killed Putana, I closed the book. That's it. I'm joining Prabhupada's movement. Krishna was so far out. So great. And here it is. That was 1973. Now we're 2011. I can't believe it. I'm still alive. Still alive. And I'm still reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, I'm still reading Krishna book, and it's still wonderful. I read every week. I do a web, right now I'm webcasting this class right now on the internet. I don't know how many people I have. My secretary has not informed me. But every Thursday from my home, I do a Krishna book webcast. And for that hour, I'm in samadhi. Complete, because As soon as I start reading Prabhupada's Krishna book, I don't know what it is, but it's like I get totally immersed and I'm there. Like next class I do, we've started with chapter one. Oh, my secretary just told me we have 16 viewers on from around the world. Thank you, secretary. Hey, you gotta, you know, somebody does service. You gotta, why don't you give her a big Hari Bol? She's really going to appreciate that. Let's see if she Skypes anything. No, it's not Varuni. She's busy doing other things. So, and besides, you could have a male secretary. It's not that I was a secretary. So, when I do this Krishna book webcast, so the next class I do sometime this week, we will start with the Rasa Leela chapter, because we've gone through week after week. We started with the preface. There's a story a god brother of mine told me that Prabhupada once, I think it was Los Angeles, Prabhupada went to his garden and said, I want to hear Krishna book. So the devotee started with chapter one. Prabhupada said, from the beginning. So the devotee, okay. So he started reading introduction. From the beginning. So then he started to read the preface. From the beginning. Prabhupada, should I read the table of contents? This is the truth. This is what he told me. This is what it was. What Prabhupada was intending, I don't know. So I read this Krishna book, and within a matter of minutes, I'm totally immersed in the mood. Because if you have read Prabhupada's books, Dravid, I think, can confirm. Each one of Prabhupada's books is a different mood, a different flavor. Like the Bhagavad Gita is one. Like in a few minutes, when I stop talking, very soon we're going to have the feast, right? The hardest part of the program, the feast. Right? So you get different tastes, sweet, salty, maybe some sour, and you get different things. So Prabhupada's books are like that. Bhagavad Gita is one flavor. Then you read Bhagavatam, and each canto is a different flavor. Then you read Nectar of Devotion, and then you read Krishna book or Isha. Each one of Prabhupada's books is a different taste. When I read Krishna book, so delicious. How many people read Krishna book? So if you would like to participate in my weekly Krishna book reading, just give me your email and I'll include you in my email notification so that you'll know when I do. In my emails, I always add, satisfaction guaranteed. Because when you have Krishna and Prabhupada, you can say that. Recently, a friend of myself and Badri, I won't say his name, but a friend that we know mutually, he said, Prabhuji, you should not use this phrase, satisfaction guaranteed. Because this word guarantee is like material. So this devotee is a good friend, a well-wisher. So I said, So I went into the Veda base. Does Prabhupada use the word guarantee? Whoa! I found, just in the Bhagavad Gita, I found boom, boom, boom. Krishna consciousness, guaranteed. This, guaranteed. I said, Jai Prabhupada! It's not that I've concocted something. Prabhupada, so just in Bhagavad Gita, that phrase, such Krishna, in terms of Krishna consciousness, guaranteed. And Prabhupada himself said, if you chant how many rounds? And follow how many principles? What, not three and a half? Four, you will go back home, back to Godhead in? I think that's a guarantee. From anybody not believe Prabhupada? All in favor say Hari Bol. We have 5 minutes for challenges, questions, criticisms. I, Budri, thank you. Go for it. Jai. Why not?
Now you touched on this, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit more. You know, why doesn't Krishna, you see the thing we've got about down, he sends Katrina, he sends so many to remind us. Why doesn't he can leave us alone? Fine, he can be with Krishna and Radharani with the gopis. And you know, why doesn't he just make us a material world that works? Why doesn't he make us? You can say, okay, he gives you a chance. But I'm almost, he gives us these collapsible bodies. He gives us birth, death, disease, and old age. Why didn't he just give us a great setup?
He already did, and we told him, I don't want it. We already were with Krishna in that world.
Why didn't he give us another world without him? Just the same. Give us a spiritual world without him.
It don't work that way. That's the problem. Yes. That's the atheist's ideal. Yes, Ravana was the same way. Ravana loved Sita, didn't he? But didn't want Ram. Can't have it. It's not, yes. They want, yes, it's classic. They like the kingdom of God, but not God. No, it don't work that way. We were already in that situation, but we told Krishna, you know what? What would it be like to be you? Krishna said, fine. It's called San Diego. Go ahead. Or whatever. Right? Now, your original question is, why doesn't God leave us alone? That's another whole topic, Budri. Why doesn't God leave us? He does. He does leave us alone, but he's concerned. Like a parent, those are, again, parents. Sometimes your children, especially when they become teen ragers, right? They become defiant. They sneak. Even though you told them, don't do this, they're so clever. We'll do it behind your back. Right? That's what teen ragers do. So, as a parent, you see what's happening to your child. Out of compassion, you cannot tolerate. Say you find out your son or daughter is now addicted to some drug. You don't just say, oh, go to hell. No, you're so concerned, you'll spend any amount of money just to save them from this hellish condition. Or just like my wife. My wife, at one point, my daughter, when she was 17, 18 years old, she was dating a 45-year-old divorced man. My wife came to me crying. My wife was crying. Prabhu, Krishna listens to you. Pray to Krishna. So I did. And then within a matter of weeks, Krishna sent her husband. I don't know if I can do that for you. But, yes, yes. So, the parent, again, happy wife means happy life. Children, the parents have the best interest for you. So Krishna has concern for his parts and parcels who are rotting here. Krishna knows very well how rotten this material world is. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayam Ashasvatam. I give this example all the time. You all have cars, so every so often, the car manufacturer says, oh, we got a recall because we made this car, but it's got so many defects. The manufacturer knows better than anybody about his product. So who knows better about this material world than your manufacturer? Krishna. The manufacturer says, Dukalayam Ashasvatam. This material world, even pretty, pretty San Diego, where everybody thinks is La La Land. Krishna says, San Diego is a temporary place of suffering. So Krishna, out of concern and love for us, sends himself or his representative just to get us out of this stupor. Wake us up. Hello. Time to return home. And why does Prabhupada repeatedly say, back home, back to Godhead? That word back means you're going to some place that you previously were. I was saying this last night. I cannot say I'm going back to India. No. I come from New York. Forget about it. If I say I'm going back home, back to New York, that makes sense. India's not my home. So, there's no meaning going back to Godhead if you weren't there already. Real simple. What is the problem? It's so clear. There's no hidden messages in Prabhupada's books. It's very clear. We were originally with Krishna. Now it's time to go back. There's one purport in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gives such a nice example. The father takes the children to the beach. And they're making sandcastles and playing. But when it's time to go, the father smashes everything and says, let's go. Prabhupada gives this analogy. So that's what's happening. Krishna is trying to tell us, hey, party's over. Let's go. It's time to go home. So all in favor of going back to Krishna, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So how did that do? Was that all right? All right, so now Mahatattva will take over. I believe we're going to have kirtan. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. I really look forward to coming here. I try to come here as much as I can, as much as you will allow me. I love coming here to ISKCON San Diego. San Diego? Nah. But ISKCON San Diego? Jai. Haribol.